97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's get the lowdown tonight. You're going to hear this man on the Fanatic pregame show in just a few hours. Brian Westbrook. He is brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. All right, Brian. So we look at this game. I don't think they can win it, but here's the subplot that everybody is looking for tonight when they tune in. And the subplot is, will the backup kid get in? Your thoughts.
Well, Mike, good afternoon and happy
Thanksgiving. Yes,
absolutely to everyone. But you know, I think he plays a little bit. I really, really do. I think Doug has felt the pressure, and Doug has also seen the starting quarterback struggle throughout these last, you know, the entire season for the most part. I think he plays a little bit. Is that the answer? I don't think so, and it's unfortunate that's not going to be the answer, but. Telling Carson that he's not going to play for a couple series here and there doesn't seem like a great idea in my mind. I think that you kind of, at this point, have to go with Carson and allow him to either sink or swim and then go from there. But just taking him out and maybe potentially playing Hurts for a series here and there, it never really works. And you know the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have one. I think it may fit in this situation where you're talking about playing, another guy instead of your starter for a small sample of plays. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Here's the other thing. If you want to get better at any sport or any activity, anything in life, you have to practice and do it more and continue to try to get better in that way. But at this point, now you're taking some of your starter's reps away from the guy that you thought was going to start, and you're also expecting him to play well. And to me, it just doesn't all make sense when I think about it.
Brian, we were talking about this earlier, and I have a theory. What they've done this week, because I'm reading this story here where the headline says, Jalen Hurts got more first-team snaps, but Carson Wentz still starting for the Eagles-Seahawks game, per sources. They intentionally wanted to display more practice snaps for Hurts in what I think is a resort to childish motivation. Like, let's put this idea in Carson's head that he can lose. Let's give this guy and let's show him directly that the other guy's going to get more reps in practice, which I think is a juvenile message.
Yeah, if Carson is not motivated to go out there and be the best quarterback and earn his contract, then this won't work either. I mean, Carson is not going out there and saying, you know, I want to be bad on purpose. He doesn't need motivation to be better because he's, in my opinion, he's trying to be good. He just hasn't been very good this season. So trying to motivate him with a different flavor or even kind of dangling the idea that you're going to play Hurts is not the answer to helping Carson Wentz play better. Because if that was the answer, then they would have done this weeks ago. If that was the answer, if they felt that Carson Wentz was motivated by this type of thing, they would have done it at the beginning of the season. And to me, it's kind of foolish to even think that it's going to work in that way. I would be shocked if it did, Mike.
You know what it's like? It's like shaking the grocery store cart when you have the crooked wheel, but the wheel's broken, and you think you can like bang it and it'll get right. It's like banging your TV on the side of it to help you get a clearer picture, you know, like in the old days.
Not going to work.
No, if it's broke, it's broke. And so, you know, like it's not a motivation problem. It's a confidence problem. All right. So let's look at the game. And like when you handicap this game, what are you looking at? The Eagles can rush the football. Seattle's pretty good stopping it, but Seattle's not good stopping the pass. The turf's going to be wet. How would you play this game tonight?
Well, the Seahawks haven't been good at stopping the pass pretty much all season. But, you know, if you look at their tape over the last couple of weeks, and which I went back and watched probably the last four or five games a little bit closer, the last 2 weeks they've played better. Since they've added Carlos Dunlap in the trade deadline, their pass rush has gotten better, which makes the guys on the back end play a little bit better. And so they're not as weak as they were before. But if you have any chance of winning this game, you're going to have to be able to run the ball with Miles Sanders, which we've been talking about, you know, each week that he's been healthy. But you have to have the commitment to the run to be even make him the guy that's going to do a bunch of damage. And I'm not sure that Doug is ready to commit to the run. He hasn't shown us that in the past. We've had certain situations every single week that he could commit to Miles Sanders. He's chosen not to. And so I would be shocked today if he commits to Miles Sanders running the football. That means Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, the combination of those two guys are going to have to carry this football team And what we've seen from Carson Wentz thus far doesn't show me that he's going to be able to outdo Russell Wilson on the other side. The other thing that we, when you look at the defensive side of the ball, Seattle's getting Chris Carson back, their big-time running back, and we're going to have to find a way to stop the run. I mean, it's going to be ugly and sloppy out of there. We're going to have to find a way to stop the run, and they're going to commit to it. And then once we stop the run, at that point, we're going to have to stop the play-action pass. That means Darius Slay is going to have to slow down DK Metcalf, and we all know what he's been able to do. I think quietly, Tyler Lockett is another guy that you have to think about and try to figure out how you're going to stop him. And unfortunately for us, we haven't been good at stopping both the run and pass all season long. And so it kind of bodes for us badly when we look at the things that we're going to have to stop and ways to win this football game.
All right, Brian, last question. I know we got the big Fanatic pregame show coming up a little later. Devon Gibbons, Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn. It starts at 6 p.m. from Parse Casino and Sportsbook, and I guess you're on your way there now. But I know you're close to Deuce Staley. And there was a quote from Deuce in Athletic Story where he says this. In my opinion, you definitely need a head coach. It's going to be what the title says he is, head coach of a team. You get head coaches as offensive coordinators, and a lot of the focus is on that side of the ball. It has to be done that way when you are calling plays. But when you get that title, your job is to run the team. Not saying you can't call the plays, but if you do have someone you trust who has had success calling plays, there's no reason why you wouldn't let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that? What is Deuce saying there?
It sounds like Deuce is certainly saying that there may be needs to be a shift in the play calling duties, and certainly there may be a trust issue of Doug and running things, but also that there has to be a balance a little bit when you talk about two sides of a football team, offense and defense, and of course special teams is thrown in there as well. You know, this season has been tough on everybody, especially the way that you look at it, and you have to question everything. And I'm talking about, and when you get into the offseason, you question how you call plays, how the offense is installed, the question the defense and your involvement of the head coach on the defensive side of the ball as well. Special teams is included in that. You know, at this point in the year, you have to question everything. And I think Deuce is taking a good approach and saying, okay, we've done a lot of things wrong. Maybe the coaching aspect of it was wrong. And maybe the way that we're approaching the coaching aspect as far as Doug Peterson making the play calls and having other people around him to trust that he can trust.
Is he talking directly to Doug with that quote, you think?
Well, I you know, it's who the heck knows who the heck he's actually talking to. I think I would love to know exactly who he's talking to, but I think
you got
to
find that out. Make a call. Come on, let's go. Make a call.
Well, I think he's talking about the entire situation, you know, at this point, and what's going on with the football team as a whole, not just specifically to about Doug and him making the play calls. What was your thoughts when you heard it?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it. At first, I didn't think much of it. But then he says that if you have someone you trust who's had success calling plays, now Deuce hasn't called plays, so I can only say, he says there's no reason why you wouldn't let him do that. So I assume he's saying, it's a veiled way of saying, Doug should get an offensive coordinator to call plays. That's the way I read it. And I'm kind of surprised that maybe he said it out of frustration, but he said it lawyerly, so not to get himself into trouble, but he wanted to put it out there like that way.
Well, Doug certainly had an opportunity to hire Deuce as the offensive coordinator. He had that opportunity the last few years. He chose not to. And the other part about Deuce being the offensive coordinator, being offensive coordinator when you're not calling plays, kind of puts you back a little bit if you're trying to get a head coaching job because you're still not calling plays. I know Deuce wants to be able to call plays. I know he wants to be more involved in the implementation of those plays and how the offense runs. And at this point, because Doug is the play caller, he'll never get the recognition that I think he deserves, like an Eric Bieniemy, because he's not the one. He wouldn't have been the one calling the plays even if he was the offensive play caller.
If I look through this, I say there's a little bit of frustration from Deuce that he's not being heard, possibly. That's the very least I could take from it.
Well, I know Deuce knows the game well. I know that, and I know he understands run versus pass and all the different looks, and I think his input should be recognized, and I think it should be, you know, also taken into account when you're deciding game plan-wise because he's been doing it for a long time, and he knows the game very, very well. And even when we go back to the Super Bowl year, some of the things that Deuce wanted to do, are the exact things that made us make that run towards the Super Bowl in the playoffs that season.
All right, B, have a great show tonight, starting at 6 o'clock from Parks Casino Sportsbook, the Fanatic pregame show. We'll listen.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there's Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
He's the great Paul Hembokides. The world knows him as Hembo from the ESPN morning show Get Up. Hello, Hembo. Was Thanksgiving good for the Hembo fam?
Very good. I got a brand new smoker, so I smoked a 20-pound turkey. I didn't hardly talk to anybody that was there because I was just so obsessed with my new toy. So I had fun doing that and put a lot of turkey down.
The smoker action. How long did that turkey have to smoke?
No, the three to four hour smoke piece. I was living in the city for the last 2-3 years, as you know. So now that I made my way to the suburbs, I'm just totally embracing this with the ankle socks, the grill situation, you know, the washed out jeans. I'm doing this, man. I'm doing this. My 30s took about 10 minutes. I've already graduated to my 40s.
Good for you with the smoker. A lot of people like to go with the smoker. All right, let's go with the Eagles now. And, let's talk now, because there's some statistical advantages here. If the Eagles would only run the ball. Now, we've been through this road before, and he refuses really to commit to it. Tonight with the wet turf, maybe they do it a little more. But what does it say about the run tonight for the Eagles?
Yeah, I'm going to put some numbers behind that for you. Though Seattle's pass defense is trending towards being historically bad, I say the Eagles' run game will key the outcome tonight. When running the football, the Eagles rank top 5 in yards per play, in first down percentage, and in successful play rate. And yet, like you said, the Eagles have dropped back to pass 66% of the time this season while running the third fastest offense in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Seahawks defense just can't for the life of it get off the field. They average 72 plays a game on defense. That's on pace for the fourth most in a season all time. Let's take all the indicators here. The Seahawks defense, the weather, like you said, and the Eagles track record this season, everything points to the most balanced game plan the Eagles have had all season.
And you think that's got a chance of happening?
No, most certainly not. But I'll say this. I mean, if they are indeed going to mix in Jalen Hurts a bunch, I mean, obviously time will tell. It's not obvious to me that the zone read and the RPO is going to be a larger staple of this offense than normal. So anything close to a 50-50 ratio in this case, I think is important. But I don't think it's, I think it's worth restating here the notion that they're playing so fast. And that's curious because a lot of times teams that play fast are the teams that are always trailing. But I controlled for that. I even went back and looked to see how fast the Eagles are playing this year with a lead, and they rank second in the NFL when doing that. So it's very curious. When you have an offense that's doing all that well, obviously you have a quarterback who's throwing the ball all over the place and spraying it. I'm not quite sure why the Eagles are playing with such urgency on offense when, for the first few years of Doug Peterson's tenure, they were much more deliberate, and that seemed to work a whole lot better than this.
All right, Russell Wilson. He seems to own this team. He's always making plays, but he does have an Achilles heel this year. Now, here's what we know. The Eagles like to throw a safety in the box. Schwartz likes that, but that would not be the way to play Russell tonight, would it?
That's exactly right. There's no quarterback in the league that throws a better deep ball than this guy, but there is a defensive remedy for it, and it is to play multiple high safeties. Here's what I mean. Wilson has thrown 29 touchdown passes this season on plays with one or fewer high safeties. That's the second most in the NFL. But on plays with more than one, Wilson has only one touchdown pass on 97 dropbacks, and he owns the number 19 QBR in the league on those plays. Now, the Eagles' pass defense ranks 7th in yards per attempt in those looks, so I want a heavy helping of this tonight, even if it is sort of anti-Jim Schwartz, and if it compromises the run defense, I'm good with making that gamble.
All right, so rely on the D-line and the linebackers to make some run stops and play double high.
That's what I say. And here's the thing, too. Like, Seattle, just like the Eagles, gets awfully pass happy. They actually have a reason to do it because their quarterback is Russell Wilson and not this scrub. But if you get them sort of out of character, Russell Wilson has shown in the last few weeks that he will make some mistakes down the field and he will be impatient by sort of forcing it if he feels like he has to, you know, run 80% of the offense. So I say toss multiple high safeties up there. Keep everything in front of you. Don't press those guys on the outside and see if you can force them into making a couple mistakes downfield.
All right, let's get into the numbers because a lot of people are staying away from this game. Don't trust the Eagles. However, the Eagles as an entity on prime time seem to be money.
That's right. The Eagles track record by time of game, it's one of the weirder trends that I've seen here. So over the last 3 years, since 2018, the Eagles are 7-5 against the number, 9-3 outright playing in prime time. That is the second best record of its kind behind only the Saints during that span. Now, in all other games, the Eagles are 12-17-1 outright in an NFL worst, 9-21 against the number. Bizarre, I know. Mm. Further, teams are 25-15-1 against the spread this season when listed as a home underdog of more than a field goal this year. Again, how about Eagles profile tonight? So both of those trends, at least in theory, favor the Eagles right now getting about 6.
All right, so maybe you take the Eagles at 6 and you hang on.
Maybe you take the Eagles at 6 and you hang on. And I have one more number for you.
All right, this is the Power Football Index? Is this it?
That's right, the Football Power Index. Right? Yeah, so as we sort of prepare for this game tonight, right now, our model says the Eagles are still a slight favorite to win the NFC East at 39%. That's a number that rises to 55% with a win tonight. Again, they're not expected to. Falls to 29% with a loss. So really a massive level. Massive, given the Giants' win yesterday. FPI gives the Eagles a 39% chance to win this game. That equates to a 4-point underdog. So in other words, our internal model says the Eagles have a better chance to win than the folks out in Vegas. They have a chance.
All right, so this is curious. So just 29% with a loss. What are the other teams like? Who rises into that slot?
The Giants rise to that slot. The Giants have, what FPI can't account for is the health of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So if he ends up missing the next month, it seems unlikely to me and to all of us that the Giants are going to win the division with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. And FPI will be able to adjust for that down the road. Should the Eagles lose though tonight, the Giants would ascend to the top spot there. And I think the Eagles would be in sort of Washington's range, who obviously just, won a game on Thanksgiving. So when you look at that 55-29 swing, this is one of the larger leverage games the Eagles will play.
Man.
Probably the largest until week 16.
That's wild. They have to, what's your feel? They win?
I don't think the Eagles win this game outright, although I do feel pretty decent about 6.5, to be totally honest with you. But you and I have both been burned by this team way too often this year to feel all that good about it. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is the ultimate X factor, and Seattle's awfully well rested, too. So I would probably say keep your hard-earned money. I think the Seattle wins this game outright. But you know what? If the Eagles cover the 6.5, maybe it'll make you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, man. Hey, thanks for hopping on a Monday. We appreciate it.
You're a good man.
Paul Hembeke is Hembo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Ron Jaworski, how you doing? And belated happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. I hope you had a lot of turkey, didn't gain too much weight, but enjoyed your family at least at Thanksgiving. So thanks so much.
Yes, I load up on. See, I'm a mashed potato stuffing guy, so I got double carb with the turkey, which is not good.
I'm with you, Mike.
Yeah,
Load me up.
Yeah, it's not good. All right, so let's look at this game tonight. First, I want to address this because here's the intrigue, and we all know what it is. The intrigue is, will Carson Wentz play well enough to avoid them going to Jalen Hurts? And in addition to that, it's been publicized that Jalen actually had more first-team reps than Carson. I'm wondering, as the next quarterback, how you would feel about that.
Well, I wouldn't be happy. In fact, I've been in that situation, and, a lot of the chatter that we now hear from them, you know, number of people that like to stir the pot. We know how it is when you're losing. Everyone starts to chirp and everyone's got an answer. And, you know, I don't think it's good for Carson. I don't think it's good for Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's good for the Philadelphia Eagles when, you know, everyone's trying to divide the football team. And, you know, I'm pretty confident that Doug Peterson still has control of this football team. They're not playing good football. That's the given. But, you know, the one thing I can tell you, they still play hard. They're giving great effort. And that's all you can ask in this, you know, unprecedented times of COVID, all the distractions that are taking place right now. If I'm watching my team play hard, I take something out of that. That they're still playing for themselves, their teammates, their coaching staff, and the city of Philadelphia.
Well, I can only assume that that this Hurts thing during the week is some form of meant to be some form of childish motivation for Carson Wentz. How do you see it?
Why would
they do that?
No, I don't see it that way. And Carson Wentz has enormous talent. They wouldn't have given him that contract they gave him. We all saw with our own two eyes what the potential of this guy is. Now, he has not played up to that potential, and I'm sure they're trying every single way humanly possible to get him jump started. We talked about this for weeks now. My feeling is quarterback's best friend when you're in a slump is the running game, and I do not know why they keep running the ball well and then forget about it. You know, just and keep putting quarterback in third and long, which has been their Achilles heel so far this season. But clearly, you know, I'm sure Doug is trying every way. I know guys in this team. I know guys in the organization. No one has questioned his work ethic, his commitment to excellence. He wants to play great. He's not right now. That's an unfortunate thing, but you know, you just got to work your way through it. Let's see if he can. Be a tough pass tonight because they're going to have to score some points against a Seattle team that's getting a little bit healthier, a hot quarterback, and they get Chris Carson, you know, their running back, who when he's in the lineup, they're 5-0. So they've got some big challenges tonight.
All right, so obviously running the ball against Seattle hasn't been able to stop the run. They stay on the field a long time. They give up a lot of plays. Yep. What makes us think that the motif will change for the Eagles and they'll run the football?
I don't think that'll happen. it's just not how they operate. I wish I had some sort of answer and clue to why that, you know, you got a running back averaging 5.7 yards per rush and you forget about him in the second half. And I just don't get it. I'm a big believer in offensive linemen, love to come off the ball and smash people. And when you got, you know, all the changes in the offensive line, I'm sure they would like to do that. They're going to call, you know, dropbacks in every other play. It's not going to help those young, inexperienced offensive linemen that have not played well together. So, I've always talked about this equilibrium balance. You keep the defense off balance by running and throwing the football and mixing the play action. And that's how you develop a championship football team. And this team is just lacking an identity. I normally can go to the Lincoln Financial Field and say, here's what they're going to do tonight. I don't know what I'm going to see tonight. I'm sitting in the parking lot right now. I'm calling the game for Westwood One tonight. And it's going to be my opening comments. I don't know the identity of the Philadelphia Eagles football team. Normally, I would never say that. I just don't know what they're going to do tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, let's talk about the offensive line a little bit because it is reshaped. Of course, Lane Johnson's out, but Mailata back in. Peterson moves to guard, which, you know, I don't know what took so long to make that move, but say Malu Kelsey. So the left side looks all right, and on the right, you got Peters playing guard and Pryor at right tackle. How's that shake out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty experienced group. Pryor's still the unknown over there. You know, I thought when Driscoll was in there, he was playing well. I actually thought for the stretch Herbig was in there, he was playing well. So I think there are some competent players that can step in there and play. But, you know, I've always believed those five guys up front, you know, have to play as one. And that nonverbal communication that is so important for offensive linemen just has not been there, you know, because of the guys in and out of the lineup. You know, when you had Lane Johnson and, you know, Peters and Kelsey and Brooks and all, you know, when you had, you know, all those guys in there, man, they were just beautiful to watch, the synchronization of the offensive line. Right now, you just don't see that. And, you know, it's hard to develop that, especially with all the injuries they've had. So I quite honestly, I don't expect to see them, you know, come out and run the football night because that's not what they've been doing this year. They've been throwing the ball at a rate of about 67% of the time, which is the fifth most in the league.
How would you defend Russell Wilson tonight, Ron?
Oh man, mush rush time, and you've got to be aware of what they do in the secondary. You know, I mean, but they, so you don't want to give them too many opportunities because he'll tear you up. It's must rush time without having a blitz. Jamal Adams, their strong safety, is one heck of a player. He blitzes, actually, Mike, for a strong safety about 25% of the time. So when you watch that game tonight, number 33 is going to dictate how Seattle wants to play their defense. He can blitz from the edge, he can play deep safety, and he's a vicious tackle. So to me, he's the catalyst for that defense. But that's why I say, you know, when you think of what they want to do, I'll go with the mush rush.
All right, so with Wilson, he seems to have managed to touch against this team.
Yeah, but it's interesting. He has not played well over the last 5 weeks. I mean, he was a league MVP after the first 5 weeks, and they were 5-0. Their last five games are 2-3. He's thrown 11 touchdowns and 8 interceptions over the last 5 games. So he's kind of cooled off a little bit. That's why you got to stay in coverage, and you got to mush rush him. Don't let him outside the pocket. That's where the explosive play is going. You know, when you got a guy like DK Metcalf, who was the kryptonite for the Eagles in that playoff game last year, he's the guy you got to focus on, number 14.
Are you feeling any kind of way about this game?
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about it. I'm in the parking lot. It's raining. It's like Seattle weather. I think that favors them tonight.
Yeah. Well, listen, all the best on the broadcast tonight, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow. Thanks, Ron, for coming on.
All right, you got it, Mike.
All right, that's Ron Jaworski.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.